Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
The speculation on the right got so fevered and out of control that Republicans and Fox personalities started taking wild guesses about what might be inside the balloon.
My concern is that the federal government obviously doesn't know what's in that balloon. Is that bioweapons in that balloon? Did that balloon take off from Wuhan?
The next balloon might be filled with another virus. Pop, droplets all over, we're all on ventilators again.
There's a lot of devastating weapons that could be delivered this way, to include an electromagnetic pulse, EMP.
Did it drop and disperse surveillance products powered by solar energy to allow unlimited surveillance?
Probably not. Was it filled with a virus, a bioweapon, an electromagnetic pulse? Did it drop solar-powered surveillance products at everyone's house so they could spy on you while you drink boxed wine and watch Real Housewives? Or maybe it's filled with delicious candy, piñata style. And if that's the case, why isn't Biden shooting it down? Is he waiting for it to drift over Delaware so he can keep all the candy for himself? We deserve answers, and we deserve delicious candy. And yet the dumbest speculation was the incessant questioning over and over of why Biden wouldn't just shoot down the balloon while it drifted over the continental U.S.
Why haven't we shot this balloon out of the sky? Oh, Joe Biden is the president.
I can nearly guarantee you that that balloon would still not be flying if we were still there.
Why did it take U.S. officials so long to shoot it down?
You have to wonder, why isn't our military doing anything about it? And it elicits so many questions. I think about Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden compromised? Is that why he won't allow the military to do it? There's a lot in that laptop that might have something to do with this response as well.
That's right. They think Biden waited to shoot down the balloon, not because the debris might crash on land and potentially cause harm or destruction to Americans, but because of Hunter Biden's laptop. In their minds, what do they think was going on here? Biden's son Hunter was somehow compromised by China. So in return, Joe Biden made a secret deal with the Chinese government to allow them to fly a giant, super visible balloon over the country for a few days before shooting it down. If that's the case, I think it's actually a terrible story for China, because that is a very bad deal. We've informed President Biden of the dirt we have on his son. He was willing to make a trade. Excellent news. What did we get? Copies of top secret documents? Access to their nuclear secrets? No, something even better. We got balloon access. 3 days worth. Also, you guys think Biden's the one who's compromised by China? Trump and his daughter Ivanka had Chinese trademarks approved while they were working in the White House. Trump had a business pursuit and a secret bank account in China. In fact, Trump paid nearly $200,000 in taxes to China over several years, while in 2020, he paid no income taxes in the U.S. And I know the right is upset about the idea that we would hire more IRS agents, but it does seem to say a lot about our tax system, that Donald Trump could easily evade taxes here, but still had to pay them in China. Sir, we have to file our taxes with the U.S. Tell him I owe him zilch. They won't do It's just one guy, and he's so tired. And what about China? Oh, send them every penny. I would hate to lose access to my TikTok account. I finally learned all the dances.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, February 15th, 2023, pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida today. So now we'll start the countdown to the Cardinals' home opener. But in the meantime, you are at jcontheline.com. Hi. Roller coaster temperatures, 60s today, and then sort of a changeable day tomorrow, and then real, real cold for a couple of days, and then right back up again. It is all over the road. This is why, I think, this is why people get sick. Couldn't necessarily tell you that I have any medical foundation to make that statement, but it just seems like that's what always happens. Also, today is the day that roses go back to $20 instead of $120. What a racket. Weddings, funerals, Valentine's Day. Gotta be the three biggest rackets in this country. You know, I celebrated Valentine's Day last night. I got rip-roaring drunk on some pretty good wine at a wine bar. The way these last couple of days have gone, I'm thinking about doing it again tonight. God, people are assholes sometimes. And I woke up this morning to the news of another friend who passed away. This is a guy, this goes all the way back to 77, where I met a guy by the name of Jeff Good, and he was a very young engineer at the radio station, and we really became friends, and he sort of got the whole thing. We were in a war. He sort of got the whole thing. We were involved in a war at a radio station in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know, a bunch of us were on the outside, let's put it that way. We had a boss by the name of Bob Elliott, and he was elderly, but he was one of those guys, even though he looked like his face was just left out in the sun for about 2 weeks, he acted and perceived himself as being younger. And he was a dedicated devotee of something back in the 70s called transactional analysis, TA for short. You had everything in your life boiled down to three elements: parent, adult, and child. And they would draw all these Venn diagrams all over the place where your child intersected with your adult, but it didn't. If it didn't intersect with the other part, there were books written about this, and there were guys on TV talking about TA. TA, this is like the new thing is going to change your life. Well, this guy who ran the radio station absolutely insisted that everybody subscribe to this. And it was even worse because you were judged by the degree to which you sort of bought into this. And a bunch of us were like, we're not buying into this at all. This is fucking stupid. And what's it got to do with anything? We're here to tell dick jokes on the radio. And they went, how all these meetings? And it was like the one whole side of the building was all the people who were into TA. And then there were the have-nots. That was us. This is how much they hated me at that radio station. I had been there for a couple of years. And back in the day, radio stations used to throw elaborate Christmas parties. Actually, they threw lots of different parties. They threw client parties. I told you about the thing back in 1987 when I first started at 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station. They did what they call a client trip to Pebble Beach. Everybody got to play golf at Pebble fucking Beach for 3 days. That was the first time I ever played golf. And I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, but I was enjoying the scenery. And I actually did better than I thought. I didn't even have golf shoes. I rented clubs. So radio stations used to always pay. And it was almost sort of like, I wouldn't say it was a competition, but the radio stations back then, the companies used to sort of like show off. Because everybody would find out about, you know, the one company that had a big Christmas. Oh, you had your Christmas party there? Wow. And then you'd hear, I heard these guys had their Christmas party there, and they had a live band, and they were serving steak and lobster. You're like, well, we had scallops and shrimp, but wow, yours sounded really good. And then somebody else would go, oh, man, we had ours in the penthouse suite of this downtown building. I'd be like, whoa. You'd think, wow, hope I get to work there someday. And that's the way it was. And because there were no computers back in those days, if there wasn't a live body manning the microphone and the turn, we actually used turntables back then, if you can believe that. Turntables. If you didn't have a live person sitting there operating everything, you weren't on the air. So it was a tradition back then that radio stations would invite a young aspiring broadcaster, perhaps in this case from the outskirts of Fort Wayne, maybe a little radio station or maybe a station like an hour away or something like that, and say, look, we heard that you're sort of an up-and-comer and we're having our Christmas party and everybody, you know, from the staff is attending the Christmas party. So what we'd like you to do is come in. This is going to be your big shot, the big time. You get to go from Angola, Indiana to Fort Wayne. And you get to tell all your friends that you're going to be on this big-ass radio station for this one night so that everybody on the staff could attend the Christmas party. So that was the tradition, and all radio stations did that. In this particular case, they made me work. So everybody was at the Christmas party except me. I did find out, though, that there was an ice sculpture of my face because they had an ice sculpture of everybody's bust at the party, and so I never even saw it. Nobody even took a picture, but I knew that my face was made out of ice. So not only did I not get to go to the party, everybody in the building knew that I wasn't at the party. And so I was very ostracized over this whole thing. And the story has a very happy ending, though, because the guy who was sort of the transactional analysis guru, he had a real beard and everything, and his name was Merlin. I still remember he spelled it M-E-R-L-E-N instead of L-I-N. But anyhow, Merlin was the guy. He'd wander in once or twice a week, and they would have these little meetings, and he was the guy who would stand up there and sort of, you know, how is your parent today? We understand that your child is that, because everything came down to your parent, your adult, and your child. This was all, these three elements were the things that ruled transactional analysis, and those three things were embodied in this whole thing. And so Merlin would be up there, and he'd be, you know, going on and on and on and on. And then that went on for a long time. And then one day, there was a staff meeting, and the boss, Bob Elliott, the guy with the wrinkled skin, stood up there and he said, by the way, Merlin will no longer be teaching our TA philosophy here. Merlin, it turns out, has been fucking my wife. And that was the end of Merlin. Oh, man. I couldn't have prayed for a better end to that story. So Jeff, who was a couple of years younger than me, he was a great guy. And we found out this morning that he died on Friday at Huntington's disease, which I guess is something like, Parkinson's or ALS or something. So again, another one of those situations where bad things happen to nice people. Jeff was a wonderful guy. And we reconnected a couple of years ago on social media. So real early today, 7:30 in the morning, you know, my phone starts going off like crazy. And we're all talking to one another, the old Fort Wayne gang talking to one another. Jeff was one of the guys who was snowed in along with me and a couple of other people at the radio station during the blizzard of 78. We got stuck in the radio station for over 3 days. And finally, they came in with snowmobiles and snowmobiled us out of the radio station and over to my apartment, which was the closest one to that anybody had. You know, I lived closest to the radio station, so they just said, we're just going to send everybody there. Is that okay? It's like, sure, fine. So we all got to, like, you know, wash our clothes and take showers and just sort of sit down. I had some food. Guy was only 64 years old. You know, when people start dying who are younger than you, I don't know about you, but that fucks with me. It's going to be one of those days, I guess. Going to be one of those days. St. Louis was in the throes of a 9-inch snowstorm on this date back in 1993. Stan Musial got the Presidential Medal of Freedom on this date back in 2011, back when it actually meant something before Trump started giving it to people like Rush Limbaugh. In 1991, I was in New York interviewing Robert fucking De Niro for a movie that nobody ever heard of called Guilty by Suspicion. And that was one of two times I got to talk to Robert De Niro. And on this date in 2006, I don't know how, but I got asked to participate in this big dinner they had every year with all the big sports celebrities and the media celebrities and the whole thing for multiple sclerosis. And I got asked to be up on the dais and to do some of the auctioneering. And I still remember this because this was the introduction of John Rooney to the St. Louis audience, to the sports crowd. This was his first appearance. He hadn't even done a baseball game yet. So I was doing part of the emceeing, like I said, the auctioneering and all that. I don't know what I was doing up on that stage. It was some sort of clerical error that I was the guy doing this. There was like 800 people at this thing. I still remember, you know, I went to the podium and like the first thing I did is I said, you know, before we get going here, you know, we got somebody up here that we want to introduce and, you know, it's going to be a great thing for the St. Louis Cardinals and the sports community and the whole thing. And this is his introduction. You know, so let's welcome John Rooney. And the whole place went nuts because everybody had heard how good John Rooney was. And then Don King came out. Don King. Again, now keep in mind this is for multiple sclerosis. And Don King was drinking that night. He was supposed to go to the podium and speak for 4 or 5 minutes. Like 20 minutes into the speech, multiple sclerosis became muscular sclerosis and multiple sclerosis and then just sclerosis. Oh, man, Don King was a riot that night. And so I went out and I did my auctioneering thing after all that. And John Rooney came to me afterwards. He said, JC, thank you very much for introducing me to the crowd. It was very nice of you. I also want to tell you, I've been in this business a long time. I've never seen anybody work a crowd like you just did. And to be honest, I'm never going to forget that he said that to me. I was having a good night. Let's just put it like that. All right, here's some of the stats on the Super Bowl. Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime performance, 118.7 million viewers. That was more than the game itself. That was at about 113 million. So for whatever reason, people wanted to see Rihanna. And it might have something to do with she hadn't done a live performance in about 7 years. It was also the second most watched halftime show. Number one was Katy Perry back in 2015, the whole left shark thing. Oh, and speaking of the sports crowd, 1978 on this date, Leon Spinks beat Muhammad Ali for the World Heavyweight Championship. Ali won the title back 7 months later. That was in a 15-round rematch. Nat King Cole died from lung cancer in Santa Monica, California on this date in 1965. He was only 45 years old. Jesus. Chris Farley would have been 59 today if he hadn't OD'd on a speedball back in 97. He died in the building that I used to work at. There was a radio station called The Loop, and I worked there before it got really big. It became the biggest radio station, one of the biggest radio stations in the country, but certainly the biggest radio station in the Chicago area. And I worked there just as it was ascending. And I worked on the 37th floor. My sister, by the way, worked on the 35th floor at Parade Magazine. And then they had the residences up higher than that. I forget which floor it was, but Farley was living up there, and that's where he OD'd. Gino Vannelli became the first white artist to perform on Soul Train back on this date in 1975. Got to watch out for people named Gino, apparently. Got to really, really watch out or two-faced backstabbers named Gino. And just to show you how far we've come as a civilization, it was 44 years ago today, 1979, Saturday Night Fever won a Grammy for Album of the Year. Steve Martin won for Wild and Crazy Guy, Best Comedy Album, Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are, Record and Song of the Year. The Breakfast Club came out on this date in 1985. Want to talk a little bit about Neil deGrasse Tyson. Now, right now, I like this guy. Why are you saying right now, JC? Well, because I've liked other people who have had some sort of medical or scientific background who became pop culture icons. You know, remember when Dr. Phil came out? People were like, oh, he's Oprah's friend, and he is a real straight shooter, no nonsense type of guy, and he analyzes people's issues and then gives them advice, and everybody was like, well, that's actually pretty cool. That's something we haven't seen before. And of course, Dr. Phil turns out to be a big schlub. Of course, the other one, Dr. Oz. And when is somebody going to hold Oprah's feet to the fire on this, by the way? There you go. These two bogus guys, Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, both came to us by way of Oprah. And I don't hear anybody pointing a finger at her and saying, hey, you know, Dr. Oz. He comes out and he's like, oh, this is really great. Finally, a doctor coming on television every day and sort of reducing these things to terms that we can understand. How do our bodies work? How does our body process food and sugar and fat and all that? What are we doing to ourselves that we could probably do better? And just from a medical standpoint, the guy's a real doctor. And this is great. And then, of course, he turns out to be a complete charlatan on top of it. And so for the last couple of years, Neil deGrasse Tyson, from a scientific standpoint, has been like Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, taking these complicated, in this case, physical science and biological things and how they interact with space and just all this stuff that we would know a lot about had we paid attention in high school and college, which most of us didn't. Now, I really think you got to have like 160 IQ or something to be able to understand all this stuff and all this physicality and outer space and, you know, with the James Webb telescope being able to see back to the beginning of time. You know, they shoot these things into outer space and somehow they seem to land exactly where they're supposed to land, even though they're traveling for a year. And these guys calculate this stuff, and women too. You know, it's, you saw, what was it, Hidden, what was it called? Hidden Figures, was it? Hidden Figures, maybe? I like that scene where he takes the baseball bat and beats up the and beats up the men's room, turns it into a ladies' room. Which, by the way, if you think about it, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then I guess Hidden Figures is a baseball movie, huh? Because he took a baseball bat and he destroyed the bathroom. All right, so applying the logic, Kevin Costner with another baseball movie. But I digress. But the issue with the China balloons, which now we find out today that America and the Biden administration, NASA, everybody else, the Pentagon, they were all watching the thing get launched into space like a week and a half ago. So they knew from the time it was actually launched from China, that's when they began tracking it. So a lot of this criticism of the Biden administration for not reacting in a certain way or whatever, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I really think they may have outsmarted the Chinese on this, and I can't prove that now, but I think when this whole thing shakes out, you're going to find out that they actually did the right thing. But I was doing something last night while this was on in the background, and I heard a little bit of it, and I stopped dead in my tracks, and I sat down, and I watched the entire thing. I think this is absolutely fascinating. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson on last night with Aaron Burnett.
Ambassador John Bolton earlier was on.
I caught that interview.
Use a nuclear,
yes.
You know, use it as a nuclear, you know, delivery system. So I guess the separate part from this. Is the U.S.-China space race. I know here we're talking near space, right? We're sort of in that in the middle.
Who's going to control the new high ground?
Right. Yeah. And so the Space Force Lieutenant General of the U.S., Nina Armango, said recently, I think it's entirely possible they could catch up and surpass us. Absolutely. Talking about China. And they've got their own space station now, Tiangong, because we didn't work with them on the ISS. They went and did their own.
It's not that they've we didn't work with astronauts. Them. We didn't invite them.
We invite them. And they went and did
them
it themselves.
We kicked them out of the sandbox. They built their own sandbox. So what did you expect them to do?
The NASA administrator Bill Nelson says China could beat the U.S. to the moon. I mean, we went once, but then we didn't go for 30 years. So,
by the way, all this whining, I'm going to call it whining because I feel strongly about this. Had we continued on to the moon and stayed on the moon and on to Mars, we wouldn't be like looking over our shoulder now, wondering who's going to catch up with us. We would have stayed ahead of the world. So to sit back, kick up our feet for five decades, and then all of a sudden say, oh, let's build Artemis and go back to the moon. Well, what's motivating you? Oh, China says they want to go back to the moon. So let's be honest with ourselves that we're not being proactive for the high ground. We're being reactive.
And on top of that, just so people understand, you're talking about unlimited resources of minerals.
Oh, yeah, space.
Everything up there. I mean, it's not just for the bragging rights, right? That's all there.
Never mind the military aspect of hypersonic
missiles and everything else.
But space basically has unlimited resources. Everything that's rare on Earth is common in space. You know, rare earth metals, even though they're just rare in location, they're not really rare in abundance. But you look at things that we have fought wars over, access to energy, minerals, water, and there's no end of that in space.
But, you know, and look, I look at a map of the world and I see all the satellites up there, and it's very terrifying because you're like, my God, if those started raining down, we'd all be gone. But now, you know, this whole concept of extraterrestrial came up, right? And there had been congressional hearings about this, about UFOs, and now we find out most of them were Chinese spy balloons or weather balloons or whatever. But in the broader conversation here, does this change your view at all of the nature of extraterrestrial life?
No, not really, because we have greater capacity. I've used this phrase before, and I mean it genuinely. Given the number of smartphones in the world today, 6 billion, we are unwittingly crowdsourcing any possible alien invasion because everyone could take high-resolution video of it, post it instantly, and it would be viral, at least as viral as kittens jumping from the table.
Oh, no, nothing is violent.
Okay. It'll be
anything
second.
To do with cats, I think,
it
is,
would be,
is...
Okay, then after cats, then aliens invading Earth, okay? I'd like it when people need an excuse to look up. Right, look up. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the government doesn't want you to not look up if a billion, hundreds of millions of people look up and see things that could harm us. I want the military to investigate this,
right. But
by all means.
Right.
And so it's just odd that we have expensive planes and expensive missiles to pop balloons. That's a little odd to me, but fine. Protect my airspace. Now, do I think these are visiting aliens? It would be odd if they were. Aliens moving across the galaxy and they're dropping some balloons? What alien would do that? I don't want to meet those aliens. I don't want the low-tech aliens.
It's high-tech to think that you could come in and then launch a balloon.
I'm disappointed. No, yes, we don't know what they are. So technically they are UF, the first three, U, unidentified flying object. The government called them UAPs. They were just rebranding.
Oh, they were trying to rebrand because
Don't try to fool us.
Before you leave, the stunning images from the James Webb. What's your favorite so far?
Oh, I'd say the Carina Nebula. Oh my gosh, I just have to bask in the majesty of that image. This is a gas cloud, a ridge of gas cloud, and the James Webb Space Telescope, because it uses infrared light. Infrared can penetrate into gas clouds where you bear witness to the birth of stars, stellar nurseries. Not only the birth of stars, but the birth of planets. And that's just in front of our nose.
Wow.
And it does that in addition to looking at the birth of galaxies in the early universe. Huh. It's a badass telescope. Just thought.
And if it finds a balloon, then they're a lot more high.
I just find that conversation fascinating. And I want to say something else about Erin Burnett. You know, she's been, I guess you would say, marginalized a little bit on CNN. She doesn't have a prime spot. She's not the prettiest girl on TV. She's not flashy. But I've never seen her embarrass herself, do anything really stupid. I've never seen her not be able to handle something. I've never seen a topic come up, oftentimes in a bulletin-type situation where, you know, she didn't have any time to prepare, so this stuff is already either up in your head to begin with or it's not, and I've never seen her go down in flames. So I'm starting to really become a believer in the whole Erin Burnett thing, and she really is somebody to keep your eye on, I think. One of my favorite memes from the last 48 hours involves the Jesus commercials that ran during the Super Bowl. Here it is. If you can spend $20 million on a Christian Super Bowl ad, you're not a church. You should be considered a business, and you should be taxed. Think of what could be done with that $20 million. Think about all the hunger that you could take care of. Think about all of the housing that you could take care of. Transportation, medical, you name it. $20 million for a Jesus commercial on the Super Bowl. This country is really fucked up sometimes. Looks like Bally Sports is going to go belly up, bankrupt. Don't worry, you'll still see the games, but Bally Sports, I don't know what the hell is going on over there, but somebody ain't doing something the way they should. Bill DeWitt, president of the Cardinals, says Cardinals have had conversation with several brands about the new sponsorship program that gives MLB teams the opportunity to sell logo placement on the sleeves of the players. You knew that was coming. March 15th, Ted Lasso returns on Apple Plus TV. I like this one. There's a guy standing at the desk of a hotel, and there's a woman behind the desk. And the guy says, "Hi, I've forgotten what room I'm in." And she says, "No problem, sir. It's called the lobby." All right. Here's a headline from the New York Times. Choreographer smears dog feces on critic after negative review. John Mazalok with a 3-year deal? 3, 4, and 5, yeah. And I saw a commercial on TV the other day for a new chair, a new office chair. Now, this is right up my alley because, as you know, I've had back problems for a long time, 3 back operations. And the kind of chair you sit in really makes a huge difference. And this chair, like, had all sorts of buzzers and gongs, and you could lean back in it, and you could push a little thing, it would pump it up and increase the lumbar thing like a lot of cars have. Just from an ergonomic standpoint, it's like, it just looked fantastic. So I looked it up online. $979. Oh, and 99 cents, by the way. Got to get that in. $1,000 to sit down and be comfortable. And then two more memes. It says here, the boat used as the SS Minnow in Gilligan's Island was a 1964 Wheeler with a cruising speed of 12 knots, which means they couldn't have traveled more than 41.5 miles. Now I'm starting to doubt if the show was even real. And a Roadrunner's top speed is 20 miles an hour, while coyotes can reach speeds of up to 43 miles an hour. My entire childhood was a lie. All right, late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Liam Neeson, Orlando Bloom on with Kimmel, Jim Gaffigan on with Colbert, James Corden, Natasha Lyonne, and Taye Diggs on with Seth Meyers. If you still think there's trouble between Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez because of that shot at the awards the other night where it looked like they were having a big fight, they got matching tattoos yesterday for Valentine's Day. I think everything is just fine. Bruce Springsteen has announced some more North American tour dates. Oh, and here you go. That antitrust lawsuit against Live Nation and Ticketmaster was thrown out of court because when you buy your tickets and the little thing says, do you agree to these terms? You say yes, or you can't get the fucking tickets. And you say yes, and by doing so, you have waived your right to sue. It's all in the terms of use. They get you coming, and they get you going. All right, birthdays today. Megan Thee Stallion, 28. Yammer Yager, Czech hockey star, known affectionately in the league as Puff Nuts, 51 today. Christopher McDonald from Happy Gilmore and, oh God, Quiz Show. Good actor, 68. He plays a good prick. Oh, Thelma and Louise, too. Matt Groening, the creator of Simpsons, 69. Jane Seymour, 72. Chris Farley, as we said, would have been 59. City of St. Louis, established as a French trading post on this day 259 years ago, 1764. It says here, by some French dude named Pierre Leclerc Liguet, or Liguet. I have no idea how you pronounce L-I-G-U-E in French. And for those of you planning a Florida vacation, you're most likely to get attacked by a shark in Florida in September between 2 and 3 p.m., and with that whole Amy Robach story and her boyfriend over at ABC News, now it's starting to sort of shake out that this is not an isolated case. In fact, former ABC News employees say there's a rampant culture of sex at the ABC network. I guess now when the anchors say this just in, well, it seems like it could be a whole new meaning, huh? And a happy day after Valentine's Day to you too. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, February 15th, 2023 is in the can. Pitchers and catchers reporting to Jupiter, Florida today. We are here every weekday morning. We post now at 11 o'clock. Be taking over the new morning show at the new radio station here. As soon as they tell me, I'm as frustrated as you are. I'm still sitting here waiting for the call. I'd say something stupid like, oh, it's going to be any day now. But then you would hate me because you would have the right to. Out of my hands. Sorry, but it's coming soon. And with all that in mind, you can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, the showgram with JC Corcoran. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
JC Corcoran Podcast.